being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too.
More fire!
Yeah, more fire. Welcome, bienvenue, and another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. The Canadian Controversial Negro, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. All right. Today's date is the Sabbath, Sunday, August 2nd. Damn. Déjà au mois d'août. August 2nd, 2026. And we are at episode 358. And in today's episode, I will be talking about, I will be asking, reflecting on the question, am I performing or am I keeping it real? Gives me a little tingly sign. Anyways, with all that, but before we get to that topic, we will let's do some quotables and some randomness. Yeah. You bitches is done eating. Tell them check, please. Tell them check, please. All right. Shout out to Cardi B. And that was not a quotable, but I mean, it is, but that was not part of the list of quotables that I had for today. Let's start. I got four this time around, right? First one is, maturity is realizing that some people don't grow out of their patterns. They find new people to tolerate them, and you don't have to be one of them again.
Message!
But I can fix them. Next one is, I'm gonna save that for the last one, just because it's needs to be said. But the other one is, this is called the Mr. B quote. Not me, but I wish I could take credit for this quote. And it goes, "You do not owe access to anyone who mistakes your softness for a doorway."
Message.
Oh my God! Yes, that's so apropos. You know, it's easier to say it than to do it, but it's worth doing. One of those things worth doing. Maybe that, if that's your journey, power to you. Next one is, did I read this one already? No, I haven't. All right. Things are a little out of order. That's why. All right. This one goes, gaslighting only works until you trust your memory more than their lies.
Message.
That one is going to be very relevant in one of the randomness topic, and I do some church ratchetness. I'll explain. Last one, and I dedicate it to myself. Well, it goes, to my younger self, you were always enough, even when no one said it.
Message.
All right, that's I made that one the last one because I remember having thought when I used to journal. Excuse me, I'm giggling because someone I was online. I read a question. Someone asked the question, "Hey, people who grew up before the internet, what did you do before?" Well, some of us used to journal, and I remember writing down the question how life felt like a big ass store, and I can't afford anything. Everything on the shelf, I can't afford. Granted, I was talking about bitches back then, I mean, or a whole bunch of immature things, but it did feel like I was going through life lacking. And fast forward to today, I wish I could scream at my younger self. It says, you were always enough. Granted, I don't think you would have believed me. Because he goes, yeah, if I'm enough, then how come I ain't got no bins? Ain't no ends to hang out with my friends. All right. All right, that's it for quotables. Let's do some randomness, all right?
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay, now I got a whole lot of randomness for today. Let me check the time, but let me think this right. First one. First one, this is just, I mean, it's randomness. It's to put out that I'm enjoying the book Dungeon, excuse me, the series Dungeon Crawler Carl. I'm at the fourth book. It's, wow. It's, I honestly don't know how we'll explain it to you, but it's fucking, it's weird, but not like this dude took a lot of crack weird. It's like, it's funny. It's a fun read. That's what I'm wanting to get at. It's a fun read. it makes me chuckle. It's not a thriller. Oh, it's starting, but it's a, look, the point is, it's a fun read. The second book that I'm also, all this is like fan fiction. And I mean, fantasy and fiction and all that. Second one is called Children of Blood and Bones. I wrote down, I'm enjoying the journey. Here's what I wrote down. Enjoying the journey. One is crazy. I was talking about Dungeon Crawler Carl. And the other one, I can't explain it. Children of Blood and Bone is a book that I had on my audiobook playlist. I had bought it a long time ago. I can't remember who suggested it. Maybe it was at the Virtus Con and whatever. But it's, I think, but whatever, man. It's oh my God. Yes. You know what? I'm going to do shit that adults do and tell you the author's name. Like, I was going for the book, ignoring the book. Oh, right. I was in the middle of explaining how I had it in my library. First time around, it took me a while to get into it, and it's just because I wasn't really initialized. I think it was my first time branching off nonfiction, and I'm reading it, and I couldn't get my brain to be like, shut the fuck up, listen to the storyteller. Anyway, so the first time around, it took me a while to get into it, but the second time around, after finishing books like Red Rising, the Burning series, especially the Burning series, it's kind of like I'm like more open to sci-fi, to fiction. Anyways, so the author's name is, I nearly told you the director's name, I'll get to that. Author's name is Tomi Adeyemi, and it's a romantic fantasy? I don't do romance. Oh, whatever. I'm here. All right. It's a 2018 young adult. Oh, it's a YA. Young adult romantic fantasy by a Nigerian-American novelist, Tomi Adeyemi. It's Tomi. Hey! Yes, it's a woman. All right. Props for me for I'm an ally. Reading a book by a black woman. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. And added bonus, sheer coincidence. To those of you who believe in coincidence, I mean, I do too, but look, sheer coincidence, as I'm reading through the book the second time, and like I'm more into it, and I see that there's a trailer. They're making a movie. There's a movie coming out. They made the movie, and it's coming out in January. And I'm so excited that I'm looking at the – I was fighting not to look at the cast for the for the movie, and I couldn't help myself, but yes, I am. The casting is very interesting. I'm enjoying it. Like the dude who played the dude from Snowfall. Demson Idris is in there. There's a lot of people in. A lot of big names are in there. Idris Elba's in there. He's playing. Okay. Oh right. That's why I had it up. Okay. Regina King is playing Queen. Of course. Regina King is playing the. Anyway, whatever. It's playing one of the characters. She's playing a queen in there. And I'm familiar with the character. But I'm really enjoying. What's interesting, just to be that nerd, I'm wondering if they're going to leave out a character. Because that's how they do when they do movies. Sometimes they like take certain liberties and remix the character list. But whatever, that's not the point. I'm excited reading the book, and I'm excited the movie coming out. You know, it's been a while since I've looked forward to a release of a movie or an album or whatever and whatnot. So, yeah. So, shout out to me for reading and shit.
Y'all motherfuckers need to gangbang them books.
Yeah, for gangbanging these books.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
English is a bastard language.
Amen.
This is what you're fighting to protect. It's a language that's not even its own. It's a bastardization of Greek, Old Norse, Latin. It's a complete bastardization. And this is what we're wasting the house's time fighting for?
The voice you just heard, I believe it's Tamitha Paul, MP. Let's make sure I got this. Let me make sure I am... Don't want to mislead you astray. Yes, it is. All right, Tamitha. Shout out to Tamitha Paul, member of the New Zealand Parliament. And, oh, my God. First, I wanted to say that for more context, links will be in the show notes so you can listen to it. But I just want to say that as a French, as a black French Canadian, I endorse that message, man. Fuck you, English. Fuck the English. All right. And whatnot. Now, now, I'm sharing this clip as an excuse to, like, to say, ha ha, I watched this clip. And also just a thought that I had this week and somewhere on the chat board. And I think just a discussion, not a discussion, but a quick brief back and forth that I had with some rando on the internet about they were on some anti-AI shit. It's really juvenile anti. Okay, I want to be clear. It's not that you're opposing AI, that he's opposing AI, that he's juvenile. It's the reason for opposing it. And it's to the point where I would say that, dude, you are doing more to promote AI than you are to getting rid of it. I'm saying, I'm sure there are some legitimate reasons for people to be against it. He wasn't one of it. Like his the way he talks screams, I'm just scared of change at the core. Anyway, that's not what I wanted to debate, but it was just the reason why I found his point was juvenile, because he had made a whole post about, for the love of God, stop using AI, just use your own brain and things like that, blah, blah, blah. Just pretty much dismissing someone who might use AI as a way to refine text, refine or proofread text and whatnot. And I think, okay, small point, like those who are, if you want to make an argument against AI or you don't want to promote it, at the very least, understand the people who've convinced themselves it's a great tool, or understand the problems that are being solved by this tool, and then work for away from there. Because if you just dismiss people who have legitimate reason or who managed to use it as a tool, you're just in opposition, you're just a person who doesn't understand, who just gets thrown off. Oh my God, I'm giving you a long speech. Anyways, I was just thinking about when he made that post, and of course I took it personally. I had to send a reply and say, to the point of, I forget what I wrote, but essentially saying like, hey, some of us are using it, or some people use it to refine text or proofread and whatnot. I forget what his response was, but he dismissed the point that I was saying, and I found myself just responding with saying that I could tell that either you're one of those people who likely mastered the English language, and I am very familiar with how. Okay, this is where it got me thinking. I speak French and English, and I am very familiar with how in those two languages, what I call it, the white man's language, those two languages, how people react when you don't master that language or master the fundamentals of that language. Sure, there's some people who are patient, and there's some people who are like, oh man, you fucking immigrant, blah, blah, like all kinds of, all of a sudden your humanity doesn't matter anymore. So I'm a person who English is their second language. I faced some of the meanest people who are like, oh, fuck, man, one of those, or, you know, all of a sudden you're an idiot because you can't master the Queen's language. Fuck the monarchy. French is actually interesting in that way, too, is French people can be really Nazis when it comes to, hold on, I'm not going to speak for people in Paris, but I know in Quebec French, they can be Nazis about if you don't properly pronounce shit the right way, they'll get on your back. And I've heard people like trying to learn the French language and how they get attacked and they're like, fuck, it's just discouraging. It's to a point, I remember I was listening to a French radio, actually, Radio Canada, just a discussion someone was on. And I think this generation might be a little different because the person, l'animatrice, the radio person, had went out of her way to say, they were having like conversation in French. And I think the other person is second language in French. But the point, no, it was two French people. But she said something along the line of, hey, no, none of that Nazi shit. Like, essentially, we need to learn to be more tolerant of people who don't properly speak French, as opposed to dismissing them. I'm giving you this whole story to say that as someone who has suffered, who's seen the consequences of not properly writing, not writing properly on the internet, and then here the internet comes up and the internet AI comes up and I can write my dumb phrases like, y'all ain't shit, and have this thing ironed out to, I believe the point that I'm trying to make, you know, like well articulate a point. It's like it leveled the playing field. I don't know why I'm making this point while picturing someone completely disagreeing with me on what I'm saying. It's making it hard to make my point. But I'm just saying that it's leveled the playing field. It kind of reminds me of when I started using GIMP, and it's like a Photoshop app. And had me thinking, I wonder if when graphic tools came out, whether people in artists had the same reservation against these tools that people have against AI. Because it's a tool, and also certain skills that people who are born artists, oh, you know what? Okay, let me give you credit. Either they were born artistic or they've practiced and become, right? These tools help it simplify some of these things that it took a talent to master. I mean, you still need to be a graphic artist. You still need to have a talent, but there's certain things these tools facilitate. So that's what I'm giving you this long story to say that, okay, right. I'm giving you this long story that I'm gonna end this point by saying that, look, if you dismiss AI as a tool and you're trying to stop people from using it, you've lost already before fighting. You're like this dude I used to know when I was in college. I had this job. Actually, it was in high school. I had this job, and the internet was this new thing. Actually, computers on your desk was a new thing. I'm that old, kids. And I remember this one guy, he got fired because he refused to work with a computer. I'm going to assume he bounced back, but my point is he got left behind. I remember it was a computer on the desk, and he's, man, I could do this shit by my, I got a fucking calculator. What do I need this big tool for? I got a pen and a pencil. I could just go to the mailbox if I want to email someone. If they're in my building, I could just walk there. Why the fuck do I need a computer? Whatever. Anyways, I'm paying attention to my note. This last point I'm going to make is, despite the fact that I speak two languages, I still struggle with getting my point across, says the guy on the podcast. I get it. I joke about how sometimes I have this bad habit of assuming people understand what the fuck I'm talking about. And I've always taken it out on, I joke, I use words like, and fuck the white man's language. And really what I'm saying is I struggle every once in a while. I struggle with getting a point across. And so far and right now, all the preachers and the teachers, I've never had a tutor, teacher who's been patient enough to help me walk me through this challenge. But enter AI. Yeah. I forget. It's my goddamn podcast. Right. If you're like on the anti, if you ain't trying to hear shit about AI, this podcast ain't for you. Pretty much. You know, I'm sure you're a good person and whatnot, but just don't ask me to change my opinion because it hurts your feelings.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. This next one is, I'm not going to play it. It's just a thought that I had. All right. This thought came to my, essentially I have this video. I'm not sure if I'm going to share it in the show notes, but it's a Canadian white nationalist protest in front of the Prince's Gate in Toronto. Oh, man. By the way, shout out to all of you who's in at Caravana this year. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. And so and the only reason I'm thinking about this clip or whatnot is because in the United States during the 4th of July, they had some of these same idiots walking. Basically, white nationalists, white racists walking around in masks and with signs saying all kinds of shit. Like these guys have a sign saying DEI is not. DEI is how a nation dies. And here's the thing. Every time these assholes are presented in the news, everyone's talking about free speech this, free speech that. And my thing is it really free speech if these assholes are wearing a mask? Do you know what I mean? Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, they said a whole bunch of things basically that got them killed. They didn't have free speech, but these white boys are allowed to walk around, express all kinds of racist thoughts. Sure, they're censored. I mean, there's a gray area where they're permitted to do it, but the fact that they allow them to walk around in masks is a problem. I guess as long as they don't do any harm, well, I mean, there is those signs. But look, shit, I don't want to overthink this. I'm just saying it's bullshit, man. The fact that they get to walk around in masks while being, doing, presenting, protesting, whatever, man. White power shit. It's some bullshit.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, this next thought was inspired by a post on Thread. And the simple message just said, I was curious as a child for Christianity to make... Excuse me. I was too curious as a child for Christianity to make sense to me. And I can relate to that thought. I too was curious as a child. Too curious for Christianity to make sense. But I didn't have that part. The stand up for yourself. The part that makes you say, hey, articulate that curiosity. I was curious, but didn't trust that part of me to entertain that curiosity. So I didn't stand up for myself. I would just like, it's like, shut the fuck up, B. Don't bring this up. I remember in Sunday school, that thought coming up. And I was asking questions while also feeling like, hey, you're being a troublemaker. There was a voice in my head going, you're being a, shut up. You're being a troublemaker. You're making things uncomfortable for people, blah, blah, blah. Like I would silence my own self. Who knew? Maybe I was making a point. I could have been making a point that they would have embraced. But then again, you grew up in a church. How are you going to like talk against adults? In your mind, you're just, I still remember first time hearing about what's the word? Immaculate Conception. I went to Catholic school. My parents were Baptist, but I went to Catholic school. Doesn't matter. And the teacher's explaining Immaculate Conception. Sheer coincidence, I had recently learned about the birds and the bees. Specifically how sperm ejects from the penis into the woman's vagina. And then this is the part of sex ed where I lose some canal and then getting into the egg and all that. But I knew about the sperm and the egg. And the whole time I'm like, did God jizz in Mary? Like, I'm having these thoughts. But I knew that it was not going to go well if I actually asked this question. The other thing, too, is I'm thinking there's a video going viral. There's a viral video of a woman getting kicked off a plane. And you know why? Because people won't let her, like, she's asking, why can't I preach about Jesus on this plane? Why? Where does it say I can't do that? And the flight attendant the whole time is like, bitch, just get off the plane. And she's like feeling all indignant and whatnot. Look, I'm seeing this lady, I see insanity. If I'm on that fucking plane and some chick is talking about, I want to talk about the love of God. I'm seeing Christians when they're like, hey, all right, then fuck it. You guys don't want to hear about Jesus? I guess you're going to meet him. Opens the door. Oh, whatever. Where I'm going with this is I've grew up with Christians that scared the shit out of me. Like, you don't want to be the person who opens their eyes and being like, and makes them realize that, hey, there is no Jesus. Or gets them to. You don't want to be the person who causes them to lose faith in their religion. Because they will snap. Some of them will probably be like, oh, wow, that's a good point. And the others will be like, you're with the devil. Shank, 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 shank. Look, I've seen, I've dealt with enough crazy Christians to know when it's time to shut the fuck up. Keep it to yourself. So, yes, I did have that curiosity. All these thoughts that I'm giving you is all things I wanted to put in the comment section. And then it just felt too complicated. I said, you know, I'm just going to say it on the podcast. So, yes, I did have the curiosity as a child. But I kept it to myself because fear. Just sheer fear. Like, I don't want to say something that's going to get me beat.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. Last post is, I'm going to keep this one short, is Shut Up Podcast. I want to make it clear on this podcast, another point that that you need to understand, that Shut Up Podcast, Be Black and Shut Up and his podcast stands with Mrs. Rachel. Who's Miss Rachel? Technically, if you don't have any kids, there's no reason for you to know about her, but Miss Rachel Bourne, better known as, Rachel Ann Accurso. Miss Rachel is an American educator, YouTuber, activist. That's probably why you probably heard of her. Activist and singer-songwriter. She created the eponymous YouTube series. Oh, it's YouTube. I thought she was on PBS. YouTube series Mrs. Rachel, originally known as Songs for Littles. A children music series focused on language development, infants, toddlers, and preschooler. Right? Why am I talking about her, B? You don't have any kids. Well, the activist portion. Mrs. Rachel got in trouble for saying simple shit like, I care for all children, even including the kids in Gaza. And that made her anti-Semitic. That got her the Zionist, crazy Zionist folks came after her being like, hey, so I guess you support Hamas then, and whatever. All she did is, I'm an early childhood educator. Crying children bother me. Starving children bother me. Of course it will. What makes me great at my job is what makes me an enemy to you, I guess. And the reason I bring this up is because two things. Is one is because on my timeline, on my thread timeline, constant posts about Mrs. Rachel's constant posts of support for Mrs. Rachel. Some are serious, some are joking, but I forgot I had a video to play or a clip to play. Some are serious, some are joking, but essentially, mainly for black folks. Not to say only black people support Mrs. Rachel, but I'm saying my timeline was filled with black people showing solidarity with Miss Rachel. And the point that got me, that had me reflecting is, how weird is it? Says a lot about white supremacy. That caring about children causes, just saying you care about children causes controversy. Do you know what I mean? Like, the people who bought into the Zionist movement are treating her like she's the bad guy. And I'm not even going to try to explain it. I'm just going to say that I understand the concept of being at war. But in this particular case, it's no longer a war. It's a massacre. It's, fuck, I had a better word for it. It's, I'm going to try because, you know, I'm trying to avoid, because this ain't the final thought, but I'm going to try to stop, like, elaborating or try to go in more about my pro-Palestinian stance and my fuck the Zionist movement for life. Yeah, it's the shit of, yeah, it's no longer a war. When you're, like, when you need to, like, get your PR team to justify killing children, I understand everything's fair in love and war. But at this point, it's not war. It's like you're wiping out the other side. The other side isn't that... You know, okay, I'll stop there. Because it's way too complicated. Okay, might be a part two to this thought. But just to say that as it comes to my podcast... Me and my podcast, we stand with Mrs. Rachel.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I expected to go over time than I usually allocate to randomness, so here we are. All right. All right, so this concludes Quotable and Randomness. Let's do some, man, I've been smoking weed all weekend. I'm forgetting everything. Let's do Final Say. And before we do that, we're going to take a quick break.
Quick question. Do you like people? Like being around people? I only like to do the one-on-one. Like this, I vibe with. I like to get into the taint of another person. I like to entangle myself in the ass hair of their primal wound. I like to know what's going on with you and Daddy. How's everything with Mama? You know, because then I feel a full connection to someone. But the second I'm in a group, like standing in a circle with a bunch of people, just... What do you do with your hands, you know? Oh, that's funny. I can't do it. I can't stand in a circle with a group of people. Nothing makes me more uncomfortable than being in a circle with a group of people. So what does that say about me? I think it says that when I'm in a group of people, I feel like I'm performing myself. Like I'm in a performance of me versus when I'm with one-on-one with a person, I can just ask them so many questions about them and then I can get into the underbelly of their unconscious. And that's where I feel most safe. I feel most safe in the shadows with another person, deconstructing each other, deconstructing ourselves, self-reflecting to the point of almost despair, but then just getting right out of it because knowing there's always hope because evolution is the process of what it is to be a human being. And as long as we're on the path of constantly putting ourselves forward, taking one baby step after another, we will be evolving. And through that evolution, that self-reflection becomes kinder over time and less... debilitating. So I don't know. You relate? If you do, we should be friends. Want to?
If I ever meet this woman, I hope she lets me hug. She allows me to let her. I want to give her a big hug. That's what I'm getting at. I'm feeling the energy that she's putting out and it's just, especially when she ended it, we should be friends. Oh, all right. So the voice that you just heard was Tony Nagy. And first shout out to her. I should start by saying this is not the first time she's inspired a thought. This is what happened. I went from, I don't know what I'm going to talk about in today's podcast. I was considering saying, you know, fuck Elon Musk. Elaborate on what my hatred for Elon Musk. Then I came across this post, and I remember it triggered a thought that I wanted to respond. I responded with something, but I felt it wasn't enough. And first, let me just say again, shout out to Tony Nagy. This is not the first time she's inspired a thought. I would probably be, it's interesting how, what I was about to say is, there's been times she's posted messages that made me feel like, yeah, we're not on the same page. Or from we're not on the same page to, I guess we just have a difference in opinion on that one. I've heard her, I'm not sure where she, I know she's not a fan of AI, or specifically AI data centers. And my point is, and it's okay, there may be things her and I might disagree on, but it ain't shit like human rights, starving kids is bad. It's things that as two human beings, we could either agree to disagree or we could learn from each other's differences in opinion. Like, I wouldn't do that with, like I'm done with the MAGA movement. But there's human beings that disagreement, conflict is can lead to something, to a healthier alternative. I'm giving you a lot of talking, right? And I think I want to tie this to something I said on the last podcast, or something I try to take away from the last podcast, or a message that Alok was saying. You have to check it out to know who Alok is if you don't know already. And it's like basically the concept of friendship, but also how letting other people grow. And my takeaway from that is I guess I used to think that real friends always stay on the same path. Friends or whatever, right? Or stay on the same path. But you can be good friends and I hate using differences of opinion because that word has been played out by the conservative types or the people who believe in, I think you should agree, you should accept me for encouraging genocide. But yeah, it's like I'm trying to say that you can grow with someone who just sees the world differently. That's what I'm trying to get at. All right. So yeah, so shout out to Tony Nagy for being part of the groups of human beings in the world that leave you with food for thoughts. There we go. All right. So I okay. Let me read what I put in the comment section and I'll elaborate from there. And it goes again with the thought provoking questions. I appreciate that about your posts. For me, I feel like I'm always performing, trying to convince people or a person. Unlike her, she said she feels like she's performing in front of people, but she's good on one-on-one. For me, is all the above. I'm always feeling like I'm performing in front of either people or a person. That I'm always performing that I'm either a safe person, that usually applies to white people, or that I'm a quote-unquote normal person. And I use the word normal. Normal is one of the things too, but actually, let me just finish reading. It's caused me to sometimes resent or feel exhausted around people, even though it's my own doing. Like, it's interesting how she starts her presentation, her message with, do you like people? And first thought was, for the most part, I spend my time hating people. Not like, you know, I want ill things, but it's more like, I'll be better in a room by myself. Maybe it's part introvert and it's also part what I'm explaining right now. Last sentence. Oddly enough, my solo podcast is the one place I feel like I'm not performing. That last sentence had me reflecting because I wasn't sure whether I wanted to say, oddly enough, my solo podcast is the one place I feel like I'm not performing, or it's the one place where I attempt to not perform. When I, second time I went into therapy, first time I went into therapy, I was explaining to a friend how, first time I went into therapy, sheer coincidence, the therapist just happens to be an ex-teacher, used to be a teacher of one of my exes. And I remember thinking, the first time I went into therapy, thinking, oh, it was a bad breakup with this ex, right? But I remember thinking that, oh, I'm going to use this opportunity to say, look at the kind of student that you have. There was a part of me that wanted to use the moment to be like, I want to convince you to be on my side. And instead, I went in there thinking I was going to get one thing. I went in there realizing that, no, you played a part. She's only a character, but you're the one who, she may have given you a circus, but you're the one who bought the ticket. But the biggest takeaway was it was the first time. At the time, I didn't see it that way. But it was the first time or it was probably the seed that was planted that would lead me to realize that, oh, I have no ability to keep it real around people. I'm constantly performing. When I meet people, my first instinct is to figure, where's your line? What bothers you? What do you not want to hear? Oh, I was getting good. Christians, okay, you ain't trying to hear any of my curiosity. You don't want to hear any of anything that strays away from your belief, your bias in Jesus. You ain't trying to hear that. What's that? Oh, porn? Yeah, porn is bad. Okay, all right. Yeah. I won't bring it up. I won't talk about how yesterday I just beat my meat too. A big booty hole, you know what I mean? Oh, you don't like swearing? All right, I'll adjust to that. I had, like, I guess a chameleon. I'd gotten good at being a chameleon. And what's interesting is, for the most part, in my experience, the average human being, okay, that's a lie. The average human being I've been exposed to is not really interested in who you are. They're interested in who they are. That's the people I was more familiar with. What's interesting is how every once in a while I would meet a human being, a person who would be like, who would see what I was doing and it would offend them. It's like, hey, you're not being genuine. Like they can see the fakeness. Oh, you're trying to cater to my ego? What the fuck? You know, like, and it was weird for me at the time. And so yeah, first round of therapy was a seed was planted in the idea that be black, you're a performer. You can't keep it real. I used to think it was just white people I couldn't keep it real around. Nah, it was people. Sorry, it's a little warm. I got to remind myself. Hold on a second. Let me, I got to remind myself that,
you know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
All right, B, you're not preaching, but share your thoughts. Right. The other thing too is, I said what the other thing too is talking to a therapist is probably the closest I ever came to keeping it real with another human being, because they take interest. It's like, there's no judgment. They really want to hear you. And I remember the first time around seeing what she was doing. It's like, hey, she's giving me permission to be myself. And I would take that skill to enhance, whatever. But it was an interesting feeling being around another human being who had a genuine interest in hearing what you have to say. Sure, I had to pay them, but doesn't matter. Second time around I went into therapy, I remember one of the first things that I wanted to address, or one of the many things that caused me to crawl into therapy, I remember telling her, hey, sometimes I feel like Omar Epps in the movie In Too Deep. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I begin. I don't know where I am. Like I didn't have the words to express it, but I was pretty much saying I'm constantly performing, that I don't know who the real me is. I don't know where I'm keeping it real or when I'm performing. Finally, I realized that what I realized is that maybe I might struggle with keeping it real. I'm getting better at it, but I'm also getting better at identifying. There's certain personalities that welcome differences. There's certain personalities that, you know, it's because there are people who want to believe that they're one of those personalities. And when you're around them, they'll tell you, no, you can keep it real with me. You can keep it real. Their words say it, but their actions aren't. The people who you can keep it real around don't tell you you can keep it real with them. Don't need to tell you. You just feel it. And I don't know how to teach you how to be one of those people. It's just, I guess it's because I've come across a lot of people who wanted to believe that they were the kind of people that, hey, you can keep it real with me. And I'm like, I see your mouth moving, saying those words, but that's the only thing. Your actions ain't sure. Anyway, so, yeah, some folks just want to hear what they want to hear. Shout out to Donald Trump. And you like this dick, don't you? You like this big dick, don't you? Anyway, yeah. So that's my impression of Donald Trump. Wanting to hear what he wants to hear. All right, so I getting back to what I'm saying. So I still stick to what I'm saying about this podcast. When I'm speaking in this microphone, I kind of mimic being with my therapist. Sure, I'm a little crazy about, I'm a little careful about what I self-disclose. Right? On two episodes ago, I wanted to talk about something that happened at work, but I'm realizing that I need to be careful talking about work. Because I think I signed something about not allowed, but whatever. But my point is, right. It was the episode where I say, sometimes I feel like the white guy who just wants to say the N-word. And what I was admitting to is wanting to say shit without consequences. But yeah, getting back to what I was saying, and it's the point that I wasn't able to make in the comment section is, with my therapist, I feel like I can keep it real. To a certain degree. I hold back. On this podcast, I feel like I could keep it real. It's not a, what's interesting is, you would think I was performing. It also has me thinking about how I want to talk my shit, but I want an audience. I haven't figured out how to do the two together. The closest I've ever come to that is putting on a performance and talking my shit was doing comedy. What was I saying? Yeah. So, podcasts, I'm keeping it real, or at least trying to, or getting better at it. This is what I meant in the, if you ever heard the manifesto episode, that's the first episode of this second edition of Shut Up Pop. You know, it's kind of complicated, but the first episode called Straight Out of Therapy, I said that I vowed that this iteration of Shut Up Podcast, I will not treat the audience like a chick I'm trying to bang. Meaning, this is who I am, love it or leave it alone. I'm talking tough. I mean, with another, again, wait, no. Let me finish this point of therapist, podcast, and certain personalities. Now, I don't like get full vulnerable with these people, but I think my favorite people are the ones like I've always had got along or been less reserved by who I am with people who are like silly. Just naturally silly, and it brings out my silliness too. It gives me permission to be. Yeah, it's interesting. I when dealing with people, I'm constantly asking for permission. Is it okay for me to be who I am? No, okay, I'll adjust accordingly. I'm not telling you that's how to be. I'm just telling you what happens with me. That rhyme, yeah. Permission to be who I want to be. Oh man, I blanked out. Oh, whatever, man. I was going to say another cool thought. The last point I'm going to make, looking at the time, looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. The last point that I'm going to make on my, as I reflect on the question, performing and keeping it real, is this also serves as a reminder for me to take it easy on myself. What's going to happen is after I hit stop on this recording, I'm going to upload it to my computer. I'm going to edit it. And then the hardest part of this podcast is listening to my own voice. I'm not going to listen to the ideas or the point that I was in the middle of making or whatnot. No, I'm going to think about all the ways I could have, should have said it. I'm going to, I talk too long here, talk too loud there. What the, you're repeating those words and blah, blah, like, critical. I'm going to be very critical of myself. But I'm realizing the reason why I'm so hard on myself, it's because I'm out there exposing a part of me I didn't get permission to ask for. It's so uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable feel. Recording right now, I don't feel discomfort. Editing, I am. When I listen to myself, I am going to be like, oh, fuck. And trust me, I say some of the meanest shit to myself. But all this to say, it serves as a reminder to take it easy on myself. Man, can't wait to bring this up in therapy this week. All right, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. And I mean it when I say that. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. It was good getting that thought out. Website is shutuppodcast.com, shutuppodcast.com. Email address, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. As always, holla if you hear me. It's not just a famous song by Tupac. It's the mindset that I want you. Like, if I said anything that resonated, I want to hear from you. And excuse me, I was gonna say is if you're like me, you overthink these emails, man. Just bullet points those shit into AI, into your favorite favorite AI tool chatbot, and send me that mix. Trust me, I won't judge you for using AI. I won't be looking for those M dashes and whatnot. I mean it. Holla if you hear me. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. Excuse me. It's all making sense. I purposely said it's a safe space for my thoughts. It's my way of saying I am not asking permission to be who I am. You gave me consent by hit and play. Safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue?
I represent a hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Daily Quebec, and possibly Soul in the City on Much Music. I also represent a hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Ru. You know, if you listen to the first Outkast album, I'm not sure if it's the first or second song, but there's a part where I think he's a poet, whatever. Big Rube speaks, and he asked a great question. He had a beautiful question that made me appreciate the message. And he said,
are you an outcast?
Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.